Good morning. Thank you for joining us. I'm Twanda Black, and joining me this morning is Elgin Baylor. He is, seasons in the NBA, All-Star. He's done so much. And I don't know, are you still an executive? Are you still doing executive work?
No, just, making signings and personal appearances, stuff like that.
Ah, you're
kind
of retired out of that.
I get some calls, someone would ask me if I knew anything about a certain player, just before the draft starts.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So how are you today?
Doing fine. Everything is good.
Well, you've written a book called Hang Time, My Life in Basketball with Allen Eisenstock. And it talks about your career and, my goodness, some of the things that you went through. You know, people would never know that when they think about NBA, but it was the time when you came up in the NBA. So talk about your career a little bit. Talk about where you started from. Did you always play basketball? The book was just fascinating.
Well, I have two older brothers. And they played basketball. That's really how I got into it. They were bigger. One was six. My brother was 6'8".
Wow.
The other one was 6'7". And I used to tag along and watch them, but I never could, get to play with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so happened later on. They were drafted in the military, so I didn't have anyone, to play with except the recreation department. The playground.
Right.
Go there to play. And that's really, how I got into it, because my two older brothers got married and moved out to California. So I'm just left there alone. And so happened, it was a park around from us, a public park.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there were two parks, as I mentioned before. One was for, now they were called colored,
Mm-hmm.
Now they're called blacks and white.
Right.
And so we would go there, but think about it, the police department would come by a motorcycle and run us off. So we'd go by there, and I guess they got to the point where they just got tired of doing it because we would really go back.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't have a basketball. We had a tennis ball, and which is very difficult to try to play basketball
with
a tennis ball.
Right.
But anything to have fun, we just have fun. It was during the summer, school is out.
Yeah.
So that's, how it all started.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And amazingly, there was the white park and the black park. And I mean, you just think about all those times, and then you look at today where kids can still go and play
mm-hmm.
anywhere they want to play,
Right. It's so different. But, thank God it's changed.
Yes, yes, yes. So talk about coming up playing basketball. Again, like you said, your brothers were gone, and
mm-hmm.
you began playing basketball. And who were your best cheerleaders during that time?
Well, probably my mother,
mm-hmm.
Because she just wanted me to grow up and just a normal life and just enjoy life. She was that type of person,
mm-hmm.
And, I would go out and play, and sometimes I'd play until it's dark, and try to play with the street lights. And then
right.
my mother, had to come get me to bring me home, But I enjoyed, doing it. It was fun. It was just something to
mm-hmm.
do. Also, I guess, keep myself out of trouble, getting into trouble when you're young,
Mm-hmm.
So it was, it was great. I enjoyed it.
So you ended up going to the Army. Why did you do that?
No, I got drafted? In the reserve. No.
Oh.
In the reserves. Now, it was sort of mm-hmm. Was what happened. Like, they were getting athletes. So happens someone had complained to, whoever else, that, they're drafting people in, people had their sons, and so happened, somebody mentioned the fact they didn't get any athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And so happened, someone had called me, told me that, they were coming by to talk to me
wow.
about the military. And I wondered what the heck, what this was all about, at the time. And I certainly, didn't know. And at the time, I was married
mm-hmm.
and had two kids.
Wow. Wow.
And I was just wondering what, how could I possibly be going into the military?
Right.
So anyway, the manager of the team got me into the reserves. Somehow, just before,
mm-hmm.
they were coming to get me and take me away to the camp.
Wow.
And I got into the reserves, and I could only play on, weekends
because
they
right.
wouldn't let me play.
Mm-hmm.
When he came in, this captain told me, say, one thing, get straight right now, Mr. Baylor, that you're not playing, getting away to play basketball. That's what he told me. See, so forget about basketball.
Wow.
See? And he told me that. And so happened, a friend of mine knew the general of the army. So happened. I won't mention his name, but he said, and I told him, and he said, well, who is the pipsqueak that's telling you that, you know? And I say, well, it's a captain, you know, military army. He said, well, don't worry, I will take care of it. And this guy knew the president, and everybody had a lot of, you know, pull. Uh-huh. So he said, don't worry about it. And so anyway, the next day when I go into, you know, my military thing, the camp, you know, and we in training stuff, this captain that told me that I wouldn't play, he had the worst look on his face, looking at, staring at me when I walked in. I was just wondering why. See? And come to find out, somebody from the Army, top person from the Army, called and told that I could take as much leave as I wanted, as long as I'm back by a certain time.
Did he give you a hard time?
Oh, no, the guy that just would just stare at me and look at me and everything else. But I said, no, but what was good about it, like going back now, when I walked into the I don't know what they call it, the mess hall, you know, then they called it the mess hall, all the guys stood up and started clapping.
Oh, wow.
And I wondered what they were clapping for. And so anyway, they clapped and started clapping. So I asked the guy, what are they clapping for? And what had happened, since they're letting me go, you know, certain distance to play basketball, everything, they let all the other guys, so they can go so many hundred miles to go away. And these guys could go home and see their families and everything else. So I was a big hero.
That's a great story. Well, what's funny about that, too, is that you didn't have a uniform because they had no uniform to fit you.
Right.
No, your bed was too little. Your bunk was too little.
Now, what they did, they took two, you know, these beds are like cots. You know, and what they did, weld two of them together. So, they were like 8 feet, you know, so they were enough for me to sleep in.
Goodness. I saw the pictures.
I was so mad about the whole thing. But the thing about it, I got to meet some nice people, you know, guys, and thing about it, we got to be friends, you know, and they would come to the games and stuff like that, you know, meet later on. So, you know, it turned out okay, except my guys in charge. I think it was a lieutenant or captain. Mm-hmm. And when he walked by him, he would give me the worst smile, I mean, most meanest look in the world, you know, because he was called from the general of the army to let me go play.
Right.
See, as long as I could be back by a certain time, which they would make sure I, you know, get out, you know, and come back, you know, get back. And then sometimes I would have to go on a private plane to fly there to get there on time and come back to play.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Who were you playing for then?
Oh, the Lakers.
Okay.
See, I've always played for the Lakers.
Mm-hmm. And the Lakers, you know, were they the Lakers at first?
They were, they were the Minneapolis.
Yes.
We started off at Minneapolis.
Yeah. Yeah.
And from Minneapolis, we moved out here.
Wow.
To Los Angeles. But it was the Minneapolis Lakers, you know, when they had the great George Mikan and Jim Pollitt. You know, they had a lot of great players.
You have to talk about when it was not acceptable for you to be in hotels. And, it was the same in the civil rights movement. You were right smack in the middle of that thing.
Well, you know, it just, you know what so happened? I'm trying to remember now, getting older now. I can't remember as much as I used to when I was younger. No, but I mean, it's like generally, you know, what happened with that was only a problem once, but that's when at that time, it so happened a hotel that, you know, couldn't stay in.
Right.
Hotel to stay in. But the thing about it, I think that was a time that I stayed in a hotel. That I stayed there, and other teams was my teammates stayed in another hotel, and I had to meet him some other place. Mm-hmm. We called the owner, Bob Short, was the owner, and he said, "Well, if we can't stay in the hotel, you know, because we had black players," he said, "Well, then no one can stay." He said, "Take the whole team."
And y'all went to a small boarding house in the black section of town, and everybody had to sleep there. Yeah,
it was Teresa Motel.
Wow.
I remember that.
Wow.
So we, you know, stayed. It was a nice place, nice clean place. Mm-hmm. And the owner said, you know, you guys, I don't care what happened, because the coach had called the owner and said what to do. You know, he was scared to death.
Wow.
And the owner said, I don't care what you do, everyone stays together.
See, that's making a statement at that time. And also, you refused to play in a game that particular night. Because it was a boycott for you to stand up against racism.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So did you do that often? Like really, just stand up and say, "Look, I'm not going to take that. That's not fair." That's
no. But see, it only happened just that once.
Mm-hmm.
See, didn't happen any other time. It so happened it was news. You know, it got out was all over
okay.
the
mm-hmm.
papers and everything else. So we didn't have that problem again because what happened. Before we would even go to these places or wherever, you know, they were told that they had other players, you know, we were, I don't know what we were called then, Negroes or Black, or it wasn't Black then, it was just Negroes,
whatever
you know,
it is.
You know, on the team. And, you know, that we stay, and the owner said, you know, we stay together. Okay, where we stay, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. wherever we go, we stay together as a team.
Right, right.
That was, you know, Bob Short, you know, he was the owner of the team.
Yeah, and that was saying a lot about his character at that time. It really
was. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I would think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, he I guess he wanted to win, too.
He wanted his players, right. Oh, my goodness. Let's see. Talk about playing pickup games in D.C. with Wilt Chamberlain.
Well, how I met Wilt was the guy, I can't think of his name, was a football player that played. Wilt was living in Philadelphia. I live in Washington, D.C. It wasn't, you know, far apart. But during the summer, you know, they have a summer league and guys would play. And guys that played in, you know, different colleges and stuff would come. And Wilt would come there because a friend of his was a football player. I can't remember his name. Was a, you know, top football player. And Wilt then would come there during the summer to Washington, D.C. Now, Wilt had heard, you know, some rumors, you know, but how, but you know, about me playing, you know, and Wilt, you know, I guess we both had big egos, you know. And so we were talking about, so Wilt, you know, had to see it. And I was curious because I had never seen Wilt, you know, play in college, you know. I didn't play because we didn't play, you know, against one another. And so anyway, so he wanted to come to D.C., you know, and play. I decided, you know, what team, who's going to be with what team. So naturally, I'm going to give him the worst team. So so he would, and Wilt would hate to lose at anything. So we, you know, have fun and, you know, beat him like a drum. But then it got to the point where, you know, we got to be friends and everything else. So, you know, got to be fun.
All right. Oh, that just sounds wonderful. Mm. Talk about your epic battles with the Boston Celtics during your time.
Well, it was fun. It was really fun. You know, I enjoyed playing. You know, being competitive, you naturally want to win.
Mm-hmm.
But Russell and I had become, you know, good friends. And this was before I started playing professionally. You know, we were in college. We met each other in the NCAA finals. But Russell was playing in college. He was with USF. I think mm-hmm. he went to USF, yeah. And so anyway, so we got, you know, be friends. And, you know, we'd play. So now, you know, I get drafted. You know, get mm-hmm. drafted first pick in the draft, and Russell was already had joined the NBA. So we, you know, started playing against one another. And it was really, really fun because Russell is a nice guy, a great guy. You know, we had a lot of fun,
mm-hmm.
but Russell was sort of weird in the fact that, you know, like we would laugh and talk and have fun. Now, when the game started, we walk out on the floor. You know, before you throw up the jump ball, you know,
mm-hmm.
you reached Russell, say, you know, shake hands. Normally, you shake hands. I would put my hand out there. Russell would totally ignore me. You know, like he didn't even know me. I said, what the hell you want? You know? And I couldn't understand it. You know, he wouldn't. And now we would play. And at the time, you know, a couple of times we beat each other, but they would beat us more.
Mm-hmm.
So now after the game is over, see, I, you know, get showered and everything, get ready to come out the dressing room, walk out. Who's standing there but Russell? So he's standing there. And I'm wanting to say, what does so-and-so you want? You know, like, see? So he says, well, where are we going? I said, what do you mean, where are we going? He said, where are we going to eat? I mean, like, yeah, right. And that's what you do. Where are we going to eat? You know, and I was, you know, the shock, surprise. And Russell, what he would do for a game or something like that, he'd see you here when he speak to you or anything. Then after the game, he'd always come over, wait for me when I come out the dressing room, and
that's
we'd
funny.
Go out to eat.
Yeah.
You know, that. But he was just such a competitor, you know, that you know, a great competitor that's the way he was. Friends or family, could have been his family, could have been his father, mother, anybody.
He's focused, he's
gonna
treat
him the same way.
Yeah, he's focused.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he's so in, you know, to it, he was, you know, great, yeah. You know, great player and great guy, fun guy.
Mm-hmm. So what year did you retire? And after retirement, what did you begin to do?
I think it was 71-72 season.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so then you went into coaching?
I didn't want to do it, but I just did. If someone asked me, say, well, listen, you know, could you do this, do that? And finally, you know, I decided to do it. But, I mean, that's the toughest job in the world.
Yeah.
Is being a coach. Unless you got all the great players in the world, even if you can have good players, you know, you're going to have your moments. And it's a tough job.
It is.
Doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because you can't be all things to all people.
I know it.
It just doesn't work out that way.
That is the tough part.
Yeah. It just doesn't work out that way. After coaching, you became a general manager. Gosh, you did that for 22 years. That's a long time.
Yeah, it was. It was a long, especially in professionally, college is totally different. But professionally, it's like it's hard to, get the type of players you want. It's money is involved,
yeah.
Type of contract. You're talking to agents and everything. But it's very, difficult. It's very difficult. It's not easy.
And then you got all those different personalities, whether you think it or not. athletes have a lot of, some have ego, some are insecure. You just got all these different personalities that you got to form into a team.
Well, yeah, you're right about that. And how you handle it, I don't know. Because so happened, fortunately, I was able to get along with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I never, had a problem getting along with coaches or anything, players or teammates, And they always showed a great respect for them, and I got the same thing back from them, So, that's, I guess I was fortunate, because some of them have a very difficult time. I know a lot of, coaches and even a lot of players. And so it's not, it's not easy.
Yeah, definitely not easy. No. The name of the book is Hang Time, My Life in Basketball, Elgin Baylor, with Alan Eisenstock. And this book is in all the bookstores, Elgin?
As far as I know, they tell me it's in all the bookstores.
All right. So make sure you check it out. It's an awesome book. It's got some words in it, and you're telling your true life story. And we thank you so much for sharing with us. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're certainly welcome.